Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, hello, hello. I am particularly delighted today to be joined by the incredible Jeremy Scarhill. Many of you will know his work. He is senior correspondent at The Intercept, who have done fantastic work over the last few years, particularly on issues which maybe some other media outlets haven't given sufficient time and resources to. And also the podcast Intercepted, which he also co-hosts. It's great to see you, Jeremy. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me back, Owen.
Let's just begin actually at the moment with some of the propaganda that we're actually seeing in this hideous war, if war is the correct term. So we're seeing at the moment, we've seen how, you know, images of prisoners stripped, detained, and then flaunted on paraded on camera, which violates the Geneva Convention. We've seen, you know, kind of very degrading kind of attempt to degrade or humiliate, some would say, the Palestinian population. I'm just interested in what you think Israel's tactic is in terms of what it's doing there.
Well, Owen, let's remember that in the immediate aftermath of the Hamas raids into Israel on October 7th, Gallant, the defense minister, who's a truly ghoulish character, stated that we are not fighting human beings, we're fighting human animals. And this kicked off what has been a sustained campaign to dehumanize all Palestinians, all people of Gaza. The president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, has stated that there are actually no civilians, no innocent civilians in Gaza. I could spend an hour with you reading off what I think can just rightly be called genocidal comments by Israeli officials and lawmakers. You have also Netanyahu talking about the children of the dark versus the children of the light, and invoking the story of Amalek, and we can go on and on about this. But I'm bringing that up because from that mentality and that tone being set, what you're trying to do is groom your public to accept any crimes that you commit in pursuit of what you tell the public is your job. So according to the doctrine that Israel is refining and deploying now, they've done this for a long time, but we're seeing it in a very, very overt way right now. There are no Palestinian children. There are only Hamas terrorists in training. There are no Palestinian hospitals. There are only command centers for Hamas, which, by the way, was a complete farce. And we can talk about that later if you want. There are no UN workers in Palestine. They're all Hamas. There are no real journalists in Gaza. They're all Hamas. In fact, the prime ministers of Belgium and Spain and Ireland, they're also Hamas. The UN secretary general, he's Hamas. So when you go to that extreme and everyone is Hamas and everyone is a human animal, then you have shows like the propaganda theater that Israel has been putting on, where they round up what seem to be overwhelmingly civilians. In fact, by the IDF's own estimation, only 10 to 15% of the prisoners, the people that they have taken and stripped down to their underwear, had any affiliation with Hamas. And they actually haven't even provided evidence that those 10 to 15% have true affiliations with Hamas. But one of the most grotesque episodes that took place was last week when video footage was put online, filmed by Israeli forces, of Palestinian men stripped down to their underwear and then ridiculously being forced to lay down rifles in front of it doesn't even make sense. What was going on there? Set aside the kind of questions. And then you can see in one clip, he has the rifle in his right hand. In the other clip, he has the rifle in his left hand. It seems quite clear that this was a macabre Israeli production where Palestinians, many of whom now have been identified to be well-known civilians, were forced to be actors in a propaganda film. And they were forced to play Hamas terrorists, in the words of Israel, for the consumption of the Israeli public. And the whole point of this was to reinforce the idea there are no civilians, these are human animals. And in fact, the Geneva Conventions don't apply to them because they're animals.
I mean, the kind of brazenness of this, I mean, you mentioned, obviously, in terms of that kind of propaganda, the violations of the Geneva Convention when you parade people in front of the cameras in that humiliating kind of way. And I mean, if we take the rhetoric, you mentioned Amalek when Benjamin Netanyahu spoke of quoted from the Bible where the Amalek nation attacked the Israelites and God commanded the Israelites to kill all men, women and children, which he repeated both to the population, but also separately to soldiers. And then as another example, just as a brazenness, they blow up a school cheering. You can't blow up civilian structures according to international law unless you can claim there's proportionality in terms of a military use. But obviously, if they went in and covered it in explosives, that couldn't possibly be the case. But I suppose what hangs this all together is they kind of behave as though they can get away with essentially anything. Yeah. And they're right. I mean, isn't that that's partly what we're trying to demonstrate here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's remember one of the premier episodes of this propaganda war that now almost no one ever talks about. The American public, the world public, the Israeli public was told that the most important hospital in Gaza, the Al-Shifa Hospital, which was built originally as a British military barracks, it then was converted into a hospital under both Egyptian and Israeli occupations of what is now Gaza. In the 1980s, Israel built tunnels underneath it. They built tunnels and underground operating room. It was designed by two Tel Aviv architects. And in the late 1980s, Hamas was created in 1987. The Israelis were doing construction on Al-Shifa all through the 1980s. And in the late 1980s, according to the son of one of the main Israeli architects, they actually hired Hamas as security guards to guard their construction project so that it wouldn't be attacked. I say all of that because Israel knew, because they built them, that there were tunnels under the hospital. In fact, anyone who's covered Gaza for any length of time knows that there are hundreds of kilometers of tunnels underneath Gaza, by some estimates, 500 kilometers or more. And Israel seems to be now going to flood them with seawater, which is a whole other issue. But what I'm getting at here is Israel told the world, and they produced this slick three-dimensional video where it's almost like out of a Bond villain movie that descends down from under Al-Shifa and shows us what amounts to a Hamas Pentagon. And they told us this is not just any command center. This is one of the central command centers of Hamas's operations. The entire thing was a lie. The entire thing was a fraud. They present a few dozen weapons total, some of which were stored behind an MRI machine, which makes no sense for anyone who understands the electromagnetic qualities of an MRI machine. But just set that aside for a moment. It was a lie that was also co-signed by the president of the United States and his senior advisors, who said they had their own intelligence indicating this. We know that 5 days before that, Israel had actually found a major Hamas command and control center that was many kilometers northwest of there. So why did they do that? They did it so that they could convince the world that there were actually no civilians. There are no civilian hospitals in Gaza. And they've laid siege. In fact, as we speak now, they're laying siege to yet more hospitals. And now they're starting to do it in the West Bank as well. So we as journalists, or just as ordinary people watching this, cannot participate in any way in disseminating Israeli propaganda. Nothing Israel says, and this is their own fault, should be believed without verification. Nothing, not one single thing they say should ever be believed unless there is clear, concrete, independent evidence.
And on that, I mean, you mentioned that video, the kind of bombshell video of Al-Shifa Hospital. And in that tweet, they specifically said that Al-Shifa Hospital is the command and control center of Hamas. I mean, the fact, I do find it astonishing that they were allowed to just show a few guns, then walk away.
But let's also talk, let's talk about tunnels, though, for a second, because the mere existence of tunnels is not a scandal. Why are there tunnels underneath Gaza? Well, there are tunnels underneath Gaza because Israel is regularly bombing Gaza. They're calling it, mowing the lawn, mowing the grass, and they periodically do this. Whatever you think of Hamas, Hamas is the ruling party in Gaza. Whether you hate them, think they're terrorists, think they're freedom fighters, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. They control it. It makes perfect sense that they would operate under tunnels. They've been under siege. They've been under blockade. The tunnels are not just used for Hamas terrorism. They're used to smuggle in goods. Israel now has closed many of them down. They shut down the tunnels going into Egypt. But Israel has engaged in a relentless targeted assassination campaign against Hamas officials, including political Hamas officials that are not even part of the Hamas armed wing. So it's logical. It's not a scandal that they have tunnels. And even if there were some Hamas members, which I know that that's the case, that used Al-Shifa to meet with journalists or whatever, that we all know that. That doesn't justify laying siege to a hospital, shutting its electricity down, and killing infants that are abandoned in a neonatal intensive care unit. I mean, there is no lie too obscene to justify the totally unjustifiable.
Anyone's been to Sarajevo, I've been to Sarajevo, you do the tour of Sarajevo, knows that that was a city under siege with extensive tunnels underneath. It's not actually unique to Gaza. You get besieged areas.
Israel is building tunnels under their hospitals right now, Owen. I mean, there's been articles in the Israeli press about how they're building underground operating rooms. And it makes sense. They're getting hit by rockets. They want to be able to have facilities where the most vulnerable people can be protected. But Palestinians are never allowed context. Palestinians are not allowed any context whatsoever, historically or right now. Just never.
Just in terms of, because I know you mentioned Amalek before, there's something I just want to put by you. So I interviewed Raz Sigal, he's an Israeli-American academic in Holocaust and genocide studies, for those who don't know. But without getting, again, talking about genocide or not genocide, the point he did make is it's very rare for intent to be so openly stated. That you often get, I mean, if you look, I don't know, the Slobodan Milosevic, for example, in the Balkans, or affiliated forces, or Assad, there is often a attempt to cover up, if you like, or employ some form of cynical subtlety about what they're doing, and in an effort to deflect from very serious war crimes. But you mentioned human animals. When we could go on, we'll reduce Gaza to a city of tents. There are 2 million Nazis in the West Bank. There are no innocents in Gaza. This is quite, I would say, rare or unique in a conflict for a leadership. If you had a hypothetical war crimes tribunal, you wouldn't need to go through secret Israeli files to work out what their intent was. You would just listen to the rhetoric of their own leaders. I mean, it is quite rare, isn't it? Having covered lots of conflicts, to be so open in that kind of language.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, I mean, Benjamin Netanyahu and many Israeli officials are using the language that typically you think of as cartoonish warlords from some weird Bruce Willis movie. I mean, Yoni Gallant, the defense minister, I mean, he literally is like some gangster warlord that Bruce Willis is sent to go hunt down somewhere. I mean, they are talking in that explicit of a way. But also, Owen, I've been monitoring the Telegram channels that are very popular in Israel right now that are just, and you know, many of them run by private individuals that have, some of them have north of 100,000 followers that are showing very graphic videos of Palestinians who have been killed having their bodies mutilated. And there sometimes are these pop music songs or even folk songs for little kids that are played over them. And we learned this week from Haaretz, an Israeli newspaper, one of the major papers in Israel, that the Israeli Defense Forces Psychological Operations Division is covertly operating its own snuff video Telegram channel. And I went through it, and it shows images of cars rolling over Palestinians' bodies and then rolling over them again, mocking Palestinians who are carrying their dead children into a hospital with the desperate hope that maybe they can still be saved. I mean, it's utterly sick. It's utterly depraved. And the whole, you know, on one level, it's the images in some of the private channels are far more sadistic and sick than the channel that is already sadistic and sick that we understand is being run by the IDF. But why are they doing this? Why would the IDF want to do it? This is aimed at their own public. This is aimed at whipping them up, at making the thirst for blood unquenchable, in dehumanizing. These aren't real people. These are animals. Over and over and over, I looked through hundreds of the images on it and was just thinking last night and in my insomnia, why would they do this? They're doing it because the first step of waging a war of annihilation is to convince your population that these aren't really human beings, and therefore they're not really being, they're not people being killed. And that's what the point of this is.
And you mentioned there that Telegram channel, 72 Virgin Censored, run by the IDF, according to Haaretz, with horrendous, you know, messages like "we're burning their mother." You wouldn't believe the video we got. You can
listen to the bones crunch. I mean,
really sadistic stuff. One of the other thing I just want to ask you about as well, just a couple of other things, is Joe Biden. Now, I suppose this week there's, I think, a term invented for what the administration is doing. It's called hand wringing.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden they're going, "Oh, Israel, you're going." It's a bit much, this, isn't it? Could you tone it down a little bit? I mean, what in terms of the role of the Biden administration? Because obviously there's the question of arms and direct, obviously, military weapons supplied by the United States are killing children in Gaza. And without those weapons, would this assault be possible? I mean, just in terms of how important arms are. But in terms of political and diplomatic cover, how important has that been throughout?
Well, I mean, remember, Joe Biden, in a sea of completely pro-Israel American political institutions and politicians, and this goes back decades, Joe Biden stands out as one of the most extreme backers of Israel. You know, he says he's Israel's best Catholic friend, that even though he's not Jewish, he's a Zionist, and you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. If there wasn't a state of Israel, we would have to invent one to protect our interests in the Middle East, all of that stuff. But also, Biden has this long track record of defending Israel's worst atrocities. He was the American politician who in 2010 defended the raiding of a humanitarian ship where they killed 10 people, 10 civilians, where they were trying to bring aid into blockaded Gaza. In 2021, he was supporting his great, great friend, Bibi, who he's been friends with for 30 years. So I think that we have to conclude, because of the undying support that Biden has given, particularly at this time, that things are unfolding exactly how he wants them to unfold. He could end this with one phone call. I truly believe that. But on a more granular political level, I think there's a split within the administration where you see the CIA director, William Burns, who is fluent in Arabic, has spent a lot of time in the region. And then Lloyd Austin, the US defense secretary, who certainly knows war. Both of them are deeply concerned that what Israel is doing is trying to pull the United States into an open war with Iran. And so you see the people that have actual military experience trying to stop this, not for humanitarian reasons, for geostrategic political reasons. And then on the other hand, you have Tony Blinken, who is a lifelong Zionist and has been the lead U.S. official in pushing this war. He then is running around on a PR tour trying to convince the world that the Biden administration cares deeply about Palestinian civilians. And at the same time, they're talking out of that side of their mouth. On the other side of their mouth, we have the moment at the UN Security Council where the Deputy Ambassador Wood does his voting against and puts his arm up like this, voting against the ceasefire, making the United States a totally isolated rogue power when it comes to this issue. Biden is concerned about his election. Biden is concerned that he may lose the state of Michigan because it has a large Arab American, large Muslim population. And I think that if it comes to pass that a nightmare occurs and we get Donald Trump, even possibly from jail, winning the election, it's not the fault of Arab Americans or others who say, "I won't vote for Biden after what he's done in Israel." It's the fault of the Democratic Party for running Joe Biden. And it's the fault of Joe Biden for so gleefully supporting a war of annihilation against an overwhelmingly defenseless civilian young population.
I did think it was just fascinating what you said there, that Biden could end this with one phone call.
Yeah, people make fun of that, but that is the nature of American power. Mm-hmm. And we you know, I think that what they initially set out to do was open the spigot, let it burn, let Bibi destroy, you know, get it out of his system, which on a human level is sociopathic. But I really think they felt like, okay, we're going to let Bibi burn Gaza to an extent, and then we'll tell him to tone it down. They're not toning it down. And this business about, well, we've made clear to the Israelis that we're deeply concerned. No, if you were concerned, you would have not vetoed the UN Security Council resolution. You wouldn't then secretly go behind the back of the democratic process in Congress and rush through 13,000 more tank rounds, part of a much larger package that the Biden administration is ramming through. Everything they're saying is it crumbles into a swirling pool of bloody hypocrisy when you see the action. The only thing that matters, Owen, is the action. And the action is full political support, full military support, and crucially, promoting the lies of the Israeli military that have been used to continue massacring civilians.
Just finally, I did want to just ask you about Hamas. And look, I watched the, some people may be aware that I watched the film of the IDF of the horrific.
Yeah, a few people commented on that.
Oh, did you notice that? Did you? You noticed
that? Yeah, I saw that.
Noticed that. But you know, Hamas committed terrible atrocities on 7th of October. People shouldn't be under any illusion of that, as I made clear repeatedly in that video, which apparently my critics didn't seem to listen to. But these were serious and grave war crimes, and you know, a lot of people would look at that and go, whatever, you know, the context of Israel, of siege, of occupation, the longest belligerent occupation in history, the longest siege in history, and the horrors meted out to the Palestinian population. A lot of people, one of the reasons they've stayed aloof from what's happened is they've gone, well, this is terrible what Israel are doing, but equally, look how horrific Hamas are. And obviously the Biden administration and others have tapped into that. How do we understand that kind of that violence, what happened on 7th of October, in a broader context?
Yeah, I mean, I think that any honest explanation of it, I mean, I think, first of all, I think you're right. There were very clear war crimes committed. The perpetrators of that violence absolutely should be brought to justice. It should be treated as the horrifying crime that it was. And that's the same way I viewed 9/11 as well. This is a law enforcement operation. This is these are criminals who have committed acts of terror and war crime against civilians. Now, not everything that happened on October 7th was a war crime. I think there are serious questions about whether or not Hamas had some legal justification to attack an Israeli military outpost. But the 845 civilians that we understand were killed, and then the many dozens of civilian hostages that were taken. This is completely unacceptable. It's illegal under international law. It constitutes a war crime. But that doesn't answer the question of why there's a group like Hamas or why this kind of an action could take place. And by the way, I also think that we don't fully know which factions did what on October 7th. And and I think that there are indications also that there were groups of people and other organizations like Palestinian Islamic Jihad that participated in those attacks. So, you know, Hamas is being accused of the entire thing. And certainly they broke the concentration camp fence that led to the raids. But it's important to know the actual facts on the ground. It's also important, I think, for the Israeli public to understand how many people that day were killed by Israeli forces that responded. Was the Hannibal Directive initiated? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I read the Israeli press. And clearly there are questions about how Israeli forces responded on that day. Setting all of that aside, why is there a Hamas? Well, there's two reasons. One, which I think bears mentioning, is because of Benjamin Netanyahu and his like-minded people who said it's much better to have a Hamas than a more moderate force because this is the best way to stop the achievement of a Palestinian state. The New York Times this week had a huge expose talking about how Benjamin Netanyahu was essentially the money facilitator for Hamas from huge, many, many millions of dollars from Qatar and wanted to keep that spigot of money flowing. Netanyahu's on, you know, caught talking to Likud party members about how anyone who wants to stop an independent Palestinian state needs to bolster Hamas. But that doesn't explain the whole thing. Groups like Hamas rise and become popular because of the conditions imposed on the oppressed. I don't think you can directly compare Hamas to the IRA or to the African National Congress, but they fit within the same category of when you strip people of all legitimacy to a right to defend themselves, to fight for their self-determination. The people that take up arms start to become very popular. And so we cannot talk about Hamas, we cannot talk about October 7th without talking about the Israeli occupation and the direct support and indirect support that Netanyahu and his like-minded people have given to the rise of Hamas. So absolutely, these were war crimes when you're talking about the massacring of civilians. We should know the facts, though, and not use incendiary allegations like beheaded babies, like Joe Biden did, without knowing if it's true. The issue there was Joe Biden knowingly put forward unverified information and claimed to have seen photos of something, and he lied about that. So we need the facts. The Israeli victims of these attacks deserve to have a full public accounting for what they and their loved ones experienced. That's also true for the Palestinians who've been abducted, the children that have been put in military tribunals. You know, since 2019, 2,700 Israelis have been killed by Palestinians, roughly. More than 30,000 Palestinians have been killed during that same period. You can't talk about disintegrating or destroying a group like Hamas unless you're willing to talk about full liberation for the Palestinian people. And I know I'll get attacked for saying that, but that's the truth. That is the truth. You will not have peace. You will not destroy the conditions that lead to armed resistance unless you treat Palestinians with the full dignity that all human beings deserve.
Amen. Well, you can see, I'm sure everyone, why I was so excited to have Jeremy with us today. Do make sure you follow his brilliant work, Jeremy Scarhill at The Intercept. I'm sure many of you already do. Do like and subscribe, do share this video. But Jeremy, that was a tour de force. I would have expected nothing less. So thank you. It was a big honor as ever. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks for your work.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.